It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Well, good afternoon. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. Welcome to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. I'm your host, Kate Skirmerhorn. Joining me in the studio today is a very special panel guest in the field of real estate. We'll be discussing topics and issues that face homeowners, sellers, buyers, and investors alike. So, well, let's get to know our panel just a little bit. First up on the panel today is going to be Debbie Faulkner from Carrington Real Estate Services. Welcome, Debbie.
Hi.
Give us a minute and tell us a little bit about Carrington Real Estate Services.
I just love Carrington Real Estate Services. Have not been with them very long, but I can tell you they're a very diverse company. They extend from the lending division, as well as, of course, like myself, being a realtor. I don't say real estate professional anymore. I am a realtor, and there's a difference. They offer just a whole host of different departments within the company. Carrington Real Estate Services is a company that is in 27 states. They have 33 offices, but they do service all 52 states. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is that to utilize a Carrington Real Estate Service representative, you have more than what you need. I mean, they service investors, buyers, sellers, and alike. It's just, you know, you can think of it. It's their Carrington Real Estate Services.
Very good. Well, welcome, Debbie. Mm-hmm. Next panelist is going to be Terry Giroux from Keller Williams. Welcome, Terry.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me today.
Tell us a little bit about Carrington. Sorry, you're not Carrington, from Keller Williams and yourself.
Yes, thank you. So Keller Williams Realty, we are a worldwide company. We are the fastest growing real estate company. I absolutely love my office. We do a lot of charity events. It's really about having a business worth owning and a life worth living is our motto. So to me, that just really fits the person that I am and doing business the right way. I've been in real estate for 23 years and been with some other companies, which were great as well. But Keller Williams really is number one.
Very good. And our final panelist today is John Ragland, Jr. from Supreme Lending. Welcome, John.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate.
Let's start us off telling us a little bit about Supreme Lending and what you do for them.
Supreme Lending is a direct lender, so we are going to help home buyers purchase properties when they don't have the cash to pay it themselves. So we're going to provide a mortgage, and we do residential mortgages, and we are across the nation. My particular office is here in Atlanta, and we're a direct lender, which means we do the underwriting and the processing and the funding of the loan ourselves, which enables us to make sure we have control and avoid surprises for our clients.
Very good. Well, as I mentioned earlier in our intro, this is a panel discussion, so we're going to just throw some topics out there and let our industry panel of experts give us the just, I've never been that tongue-tied in my life.
The lay of the land.
There we go. Thank you very much. All right, so let's start with the T-ball question. Let's talk about what's going on in the market today. We hear seller's market and buyer's market. What's going out there in the real estate market?
Well, to be honest, right now, from what I can see, and honestly, I've been in the business since 2005. And prior to being an actual realtor, I was in my background is marketing. So I work with various companies from Keller Williams as well as REMAX, Century 21, Caldwell Bankers, and helping them to brand themselves around the country, independent-owned companies, helping them to partner with other companies. But what I've seen today, first from 2005 until now, of course, everybody knows about the market crash. And we went from being what is called a buyer's market in 2005, which everybody was and anybody was buying, to the market crash and nobody was doing anything until coming up to about 2010, in part of 2010, until now is what they call a seller's market. But I would challenge anyone to say that it's everybody's market now. It's just that when you go out as a buyer, you are challenged with investors who are buying cash, people coming in from out of state here to Georgia now, and which Georgia is my home, buying up properties. And so we have a competition going with the cash buyers, which are investors, and actually having enough properties on the market for everybody to say, you know, I can just take my time when it comes time to buy. And if you see it and you like it, you better move on it really quickly. So it is still what we call a seller's market, but it's everybody's market. I do not discourage anyone.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Debbie. And what I've seen in the last year is we've definitely had a shortage of listings on the market for buyers to choose from. In fact, from January of this year through May, we were down about 40% of the inventory on the market. And as we all know, supply and demand. So with the shortage of the properties on the market for buyers to choose from, what that did was that raised our prices. So we had a 35% overall price increase in Gwinnett County from this time over this time last year. So our prices went up this year dramatically, about 30 to 35%. We have less to choose from. However, we're starting to see that balance out right now. The last few months, we went from the 30 to 40% shortage on the market. Now we're about 9% short compared November of this year to November of last year. So we're starting to stabilize, and we really do want a balanced market. So we're headed in that direction for sure.
So Terry, it seems like we're getting back to 2007. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree. Absolutely. Yes. We're working on that.
Are you finding that some of the shortage that's still out there is people that are still holding on to their homes where they haven't, maybe they went through a crash and their financial problems back in 2007 and 2008 and still holding on to it? Or are they just not ready to move? They're just staying put? Or why do you think there's still some of the shortage out there?
Well, in my opinion, and based on everything that I've been researching, it looks to me, kind of as Debbie had mentioned, the investors coming in, we've had a large number of international and national buyers coming through, buying hundreds of properties each month. We call them the hedge funds. So people like you and I just trying to buy one house, we are up against these hedge fund buyers that are just purchasing hundreds at a time, which also drove the prices up. And as far as the shortage, another thing that ties into that is, you know, our prices are rising, but we still have people that don't quite have enough equity. So as we see the prices going up, we will see more homes coming on the market and people being able to move on to their next dream home.
And John, you probably can speak to this as well as far as the lending is concerned, where we may have potential buyers, even if they have to sell, short sale, they're wanting to consider purchasing again. The problem is when they purchase again, if they've gone through a short sale, it dings their credit. And so if they come to you to buy again, that's an issue. So you may be able to just kind of share with that. But I know I've run into that before. So therefore, the potential seller says, well, I need to wait. If I'm close enough, maybe the market will come back and I won't have to do a short sale and I can just do a traditional resale.
Yeah, you know, Debbie, that is a great point. And probably about 25% of the loans that I closed this year were for buyers that had a previous foreclosure or short sale. So here we are in 2012, 3 years plus past really when everything began shifting. And so those homeowners that went through that type of situation, a foreclosure or short sale, who maybe thought they could never own again, are finding out that here we are and it's time for them to own again. And you absolutely can do that. It just takes a little bit of time and a little bit of work to get your credit improved. And we work with a lot of home buyers to get an action plan down to where they can be at the point where they can qualify again. And for those that maybe are thinking about having to go through a foreclosure short sale, it's going to be a temporary time where you're not going to qualify, but that will end and you'll be able to buy again.
Okay. Where you're listening to Squawk Talk with our today, we have a special expert panel of guests in the field of real estate. We've got John Ragland Jr. from Supreme Lending. We've got Terry Giroux from Keller Williams and Debbie Faulkner from Carrington Real Estate Services. So the question you hear a lot of people saying, well, I'm going to wait and see maybe what interest rates are doing. Should sellers who are considering putting something on the market, should they not wait, or should they kind of hold back and see if you're seeing any trends in the market about that with the interest rates affecting people putting houses on the market?
Yeah, I can speak to that as well. I am encouraging all of my sellers to put their house on the market as soon as they can. Interest rates are rising. And most people, when they sell their home, typically they are moving up in the market to a, you know, larger mortgage. And so a higher interest rate is really going to affect them more dramatically. And so now is definitely the time. And John definitely can probably give us more insight as to interest rates.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Terry and Debbie, this has been really a phenomenal year. A 30-year fix got down almost to 3%. I mean, there was a day where it was at 3. 15-year was low twos. It was really unbelievable. And you don't want to be that, really, the buyer or the seller that looks back in 2015 or 16 and wishes that they could have done something back then. Today really is the day to do something. We're going to end the year probably somewhere a little bit over 4 on a 30-year fix, which is still phenomenal. But what's so important to understand is that rates are artificially low right now because the Fed has helped to spur on home ownership. So the Fed, through a program called quantitative easing, has a mortgage purchase-backed securities program that has enabled rates to come down, but that's not really the interest rate that's based on market demand. That is an artificially programmed in rate, and that's going to eventually end, and it could be as early as next year. And so we really could see rates 5 over that next year, and so the best time to do something is really right now.
Well, and tell me if y'all agree, but I've always been told from people in the industry that you never know until you hit the bottom of the market until 6 months later, so until it's too late. And folks, we have hit the bottom. We are on the rise. Home prices are going up. Interest rates are going up. So it's definitely time.
And I would add to that, just you mentioned the federal government and the quantitative easing. We've seen that once. We've seen it twice. Within the last 2 years, and the rates, interest rates being falsely low. Just being real, we know back in, I guess, in the 90s, I think it was, where interest rates went up as high as about 16%. There were still home buyers at that time. So being at 4% now, 4.5%, is still great. What we're dealing with now, in terms of what I'm finding, a lot of the buyers or interested buyers come, and their whole holdup is the fact that they're worried about their job security, and what's, you know, their responsibilities are going to be in terms of insurance. But what I always encourage my buyers to do is to, when they're considering to buy a home, you know, let's take a look. Let's sit down and look, really look at your budget. Let's see where you're really spending your money. And, John, so when they come to see you, which really should be their first stop, but
right,
we
right.
know traditionally they come to the realtor first,
right.
I say, okay, well, we're going to see John. Let's take a look at where your budget is, since you have that as a major question. So when you go to John, before he even pulls your credit, we'll really know where you're spending your money. So I always send links, suggest you know, different things to my buyers, especially when they're really leery of what to do, mm-hmm. or should I buy? Because we know it takes 4 things to buy a home anyway, which is credit, employment, money, and appraisal, which they have no control of. But being in control of your money is very important.
Well, and Debbie, that's a very good point. I was just about to talk about, let's talk about what buyers need to do in today's market, in a seller's market. What kind of things do you advise the buyers out there to, you mentioned a few of them, talking about getting to the mortgage lender first, but talk about what does that buyer, whether it's a, you can talk either maybe a two-part, that first-time home buyer or that resale buyer, what do they need to do to be prepared for today's market?
Well, I'll talk first only because the mortgage pre-approval really should be the first step. You do not want to be the home buyer that falls in love with the house that you can't afford. Terry and Debbie, would you attest that showing a home buyer a home that is $100,000 less is going to be quite a different looking home than what they fell in love with
John,
before?
Yes. John, I do not want to drive around a person only to find out they do not qualify for that property. So, no, I will not drive until they see that lender.
I mean, all three of us are in the business of helping people to achieve their financial dreams. And home ownership is the American dream. And so it's so important to be able to educate them on what they can afford, what they're getting themselves into when they're signing that offer, what is this monthly payment going to be and how much are they going to need to have at closing? Because if they don't know that and they're signing that line, that really could end up being a surprise in the end. And I know none of us want our clients to go through that.
No, it's kind of like if you don't have a roadmap, you don't know where you're going. Yeah. So that pre-approval is key. And sometimes people actually qualify for more than they originally thought, and then they can get that dream home. So it goes both ways.
And even if they qualify, here's something that I live by. I think of myself when it's time to purchase a home. Even when I'm in the home, traditionally, most buyers stay in their home about 7 years. That's pretty much the average. Of course, we're seeing it a little differently now, only because of the market crash. But reality is, they live there 7 years. They're calling me back and saying, I want to resell, I want to buy another, I want to downsize, whatever that is. But they're in that home for a year or so. Sometimes what I'm finding is that it's like, okay, I bought this home, I'm happy I was able to buy a home, but I have these high utility bills, right? So that's why it's real important to me to know that not only did you secure a home, which is wonderful, but can you afford everything that goes along with that home, from the, if it's not a condo or townhome, and even if it is, can you, you know, keep up with the HOA fees? Can you keep the lawn mowed if you have to do it yourself, if you buy a single family home? Can you pay the utilities? Are you still going to be able to afford to pay for your kids' extra activities? So all those things across the board. That's why for me, I sit down and have an educational budget meeting. What's important to you? And therefore, if my client is happy from the first day to that 7 year, if they resell in 7 years, they can come back to me and say, okay, Debbie, you did me justice the first time. I know you'll do it for me again. So I think of how I want to live beyond the closing. When we go to that closing attorney and sign those documents, can you live beyond that day when the first mortgage comes?
I think that's a great point, Debbie. People often forget. I remember when I bought my first car, my dad said, there's more to buying the car than just buying the payments
so
on the car. Same thing with the house. People who've never, that first time home buyer forgets they got to maintain the house. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, you got property taxes. Oh, wait, your utility bills are going to be how much a month because you got 30-foot ceilings. And
That's fine.
So that's an excellent point. So making sure that they've not only got the budget for the approval and probably maybe advising them, John, forgive me, not to take the loan out for the maximum amount that they can be approved for, but to make sure that it's within their budget.
And I think we have certainly all learned the consequences of running the economy that way. And
right.
So, yes, we do not want to just live on the max. But I do think it's important. When I'm doing a pre-approval, I am providing my client with two different numbers. I'm providing them with the maximum sales price that they can qualify for so they can have an idea of the range that they should be shopping for a home. And then I also provide the price that is going to match with what they feel like they can afford based on their budget, like what you're talking about, Debbie.
That's correct.
So even if they can qualify for a $1,200, $200,000 house, and they would prefer a $900 payment, then we're going to look at something lower, you know, under $130. But should they find out that unbelievable deal out there where the house is worth $300 and it's selling for $200, then they could get it if they want to, if they feel like they can financially make that work.
Mm-hmm. And John, you do a great job for all of my clients. I mean, most of my clients go through Supreme Lending and John, and they just rave about the service he provides. So I just really appreciate everything that you do.
Oh, thanks so much, Terry.
John's paying Terry under the table now. That's actually.
Yeah.
They can't see that.
All right, so we've talked about the pre-approval process and the budget process. What is there anything else that buyer needs to be aware of as they're going into that buying process?
I would say yes. Even in when we go under contract, there are some things that I also present to the homeowner, and that is going to be the fact that they should. If now we're living in a time where most of the properties are going to be your bank-owned properties, short sale, which means that the seller may not be offering a home warranty. I encourage a home warranty, so I usually present them with the opportunities from various home warranty companies so that they can have that. That's another, could be another money savings for them if they run into any challenge with their property, be it my refrigerator went out. If you have a home warranty and you've included that in your home warranty, believe me, a $400 home warranty is a saving in having to go buy a $1,000 refrigerator. So that's one thing in the inspection period, making sure that if there are items that the seller's not going to cover, they're able to cover it. If they want to, you know, meet introducing them to various contractors and letting those contractors come out and give them a price of what that would cost them to do. It may not be something that is coded that must be done before that closing. So therefore, the seller, the bank, and the short sale homeowner cannot repair, because traditionally they do not allow that seller, being a short sale seller, to pay for any repairs. So therefore, my buyer needs to understand that, you know, this could cost me, you know, $50. Whatever it is in that home inspection that is so important to get done, they're able to get that done. So they may need contractors. So having a long list of different people I can refer them to, I try to cover that ground if they're not familiar with anyone in the area, and especially my buyers relocating from out of state may not know anyone locally. So I try to do that, and as well educate them that when you buy that home, you may have mortgage insurance, and that's something John can probably talk about, PMI. Well, that's going to be one thing that's on there. But understanding that you have the ability to go to your local county and apply for your homestead exemption, which will help you, maybe not in that year, but after the first of the year, if you apply for it, the following year, you'll be able to benefit from that, and that reduces your payment.
And can I add real quick, Kate, when we were talking about, Debbie, you're talking about the budget, you know, we look at the income and how much can you afford to pay, but we also look at how much do you have for down payment, because that is really an important component of the pre-approval. And part of how much you have for a down payment will come into play with the closing cost. And, you know, I've done many deals with Terry, and Terry is so good, and Debbie, I'm sure you do this too, at figuring out how can we maximize the buyer's ability to get the closing costs paid by the seller. How can we negotiate the lowest possible price for my buyer, yes, but then also get the closing costs paid if possible? And I have seen buyers that maybe weren't working with an agent, didn't know about that. They only have the down payment in their mind, and then they come to find out that there's also closing costs on the loan, and they didn't negotiate the seller to pay that. And that's not a very fun conversation to have.
So you just brought up something, and Terry will probably talk on this. It's so important, Terry, and I'm sure you could probably high-five me right now. That, a buyer or seller does not just go out there looking for a real estate agent. You want yourself a realtor. And that's important, because a realtor is going to make sure that they have themselves up to standards, because you can get anybody to drive you around, and they may not have a bit of clue of code of conduct, ethics, any of it doesn't matter, and they're not held to that. So that's so important, and I'm sure you could probably talk a little bit on that too, Terry.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. I agree with you. We are held to a higher standard, a code of ethics, and I think that's very important. And I think that's the difference, you know, between a lot of us. Everyone can get a real estate license, but not everyone can be a realtor. So, and one quick thing I was going to mention for buyers, you were asking earlier what else they should be looking for. Sometimes they're quick to fall in love with a home, and they don't realize maybe the commute to their office or the school district that they are in or the area. And so I recommend, you know, if you have children, go there at 3 o'clock when the school bus lets out. See if there's, you know, kids your children's age. You know, make that commute during rush hour that we love so much. Make sure it's where you want to live and make your home. So I always recommend that.
That's a good point. When we're looking at homes on Saturday, it's not quite the same as Monday morning.
Very different, yes.
And just as they have a credit score to meet to be able to buy that purchase, the school district, the schools have a credit card, a credit score as well. So especially parents, you know, concerned about the school that their kids are in, then you need to go out to the website, look at the Georgia school credit score. Look up that school And that's public information. I mean, it's right there. Look and see how they match along with other schools. And if that's where you want your child to be, it's important.
Absolutely. You're listening to Squawk Talk with our expert panel of guests today, joining us in the field for real estate. Our guests in the studio today, Terry Giroux from Keller Williams, Debbie Faulkner from Carrington Real Estate Services, and John Ragland Jr. from Supreme Lending. So let's change hats just a little bit and talk about the seller. We've been talking a little bit about the buyers. So what does the seller need to do to get prepared to put them their house on the market? Maybe they've been that, they wanted to sell 5 years ago and things crashed and they've been holding on to it. Or maybe they bought their first house 10 years ago and now they're ready for the first time to actually sell a house. What kind of things does the seller need to do to prepare themselves for today's market?
Well, I would say that we are always in a price war and a beauty contest. So, you know, we want to be priced the absolute best without leaving any money on the table. Of course, we want to get the seller the very best price possible. And yet, at the same time, we want to price them in the market and not out of the market. So they need to prepare their home. First things first, you know, we want to make sure they have great curb appeal. So when the buyer pulls up to the home, it looks beautiful. There's fresh pine straw or, you know, everything's trimmed and nice, especially as they're waiting by the front door as their buyer's agent is fussing with the lockbox, trying to get the door open. You know, the buyer's looking around and checking it out. So you want to make sure that your curb appeal, number one, is tip-top shape. And then I would also focus on your main living areas, such as your family room, kitchen, and your bathrooms. So those are the top things you can do to spruce up your house. Paint goes a long way, updating light fixtures, things of that nature, because you have to keep in mind that, especially with new construction starting back, you are competing with brand new homes. They're priced about the same right now because these builders came in and got a great deal on the land that's been sitting empty for years. So they're priced competitively. So we have to really make sure that we're in tip-top shape.
And to add to that, and Terry's absolutely correct, one of the first things when I meet with my client, potential client to sell, I ask them to go ahead and get that payoff. Let's get a payoff for at least, you know, 30, 45 days out. I will do what is called a comparative market analysis, or we short-term, we call it CMA, and see what that price that house could sell for. And once I go into the home, I will walk around and recognize some of the issues that I may see with a potential buyer walking in, you know, if it could be dirty carpet, even as far as a smell can be a distraction. So there are some things that I do, but I sit down and back out the numbers. So if you're doing a resale, then I have to consider your payoff to your current mortgage. And if there's a second involved, hopefully there's not a third. But we do have that situation going, and so we have to back those numbers out first. So if I've appraised that, if I've done a CMA and that house could go for $200,000 and they're owing, you know, $140,000, so we have to consider that. So if beyond the $40,000, you're paying your agent, and that's traditionally a 3% on each side of the fence, so that's a 6% back out. And then as well, you have other fees that you're going to be paying. You're going to offer an incentive at a minimum 3% to the potential buyer, because when those offers come in, that's basically what we're looking at. If it's a buyer and not a cash buyer, they're looking for some closing cost contribution. So there are things that, you know, and if they're going to offer a homework, whatever it is that's going to make it appealing for more buyers to come to that property, we want to, you know, look at those things. Also, as a realtor, the opportunities of where I can list those. We talk about Georgia MLS, your first multiple listing services, other marketing avenues, Trulia and Zillow and those kind of things. So, you know, I want to give them the best that I can give them, but in reality, let them know what their responsibilities are and getting the clutter out of the way. Too often, Terry, we walk into a property and they think, oh, it's perfect, and the first distraction are going to be your pictures. Pictures everywhere. Then that new home, potential homeowner cannot see themselves. You got, you know, every appliance across the counter. We have to back, you know, let's put all this stuff away. And the best place to do it, box it up, let's sit it in the garage. That's usually acceptable. but out of the house.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it just comes to there's a way to sell and a way to list. I'm sorry, a way to live and a way to sell the house. So it's just all in staging. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely.
And you might not think a lender would be involved with the seller, but it really is a good idea if you're going to be buying another house as a seller to go ahead and start talking about that before or at the same time you list your house. You might find that your house sells in one day. Ladies, is that happening sometimes?
Yes, it does.
And all of a sudden, you are unable to sleep in the middle of the night thinking, what are we going to do? Last thing you want is for your children to be homeless. So it's really a good idea to go ahead and prepare for that. And typically, the pre-approval letter is good for 90 days. So it's definitely not a waste of time to go ahead and get pre-approved at the same time you're listing your house. But you may also find that you need to move, but your house is not selling as quickly as you need it to. And so we can talk about the possibility of qualifying with both homes, your current home and the new home, which might enable you to move out, start your new job, or whatever's taking you to the new house and not be held back by the house that you haven't been able to sell yet.
I've run into that, John, where we had a property that it seemed that it was going to take a while to sell, and it should have sold. But in all honesty, the reason why it did not sell was there were some distractions with the smell. And after encouraging the homeowner to go ahead and do an inspection and find out what that was coming from, we did discover behind the wall that there was mold growing.
Oh. And
which is a good thing. So sometimes those, a seller may want to have a home inspection before, you know, we even put the house on the market so we can find those hidden mm-hmm. issues that could arise.
And sometimes don't they need to maybe move out because they have been there for 40 years? And
yeah, sometimes that's a lot better.
Have you experienced the challenge of getting people to separate themselves from it being a home to now this is a business transaction? They're selling their home, and so it's no longer their home. It's a business transaction. How hard is that to get that people who's been there for 40 years to separate themselves from that transaction?
The way that I have faced that challenge is I will actually look at other houses that we will be competing against on the market, and I'll take my sellers with me so they can see those homes that are their competition through the eyes of a buyer, make them put on their buyer cap for a minute. And so we walk through the other houses, and then we come back and walk through theirs, and that helps a lot. So you might.
And you know what we're hearing now. Oh, it's a seller's market, so we won't have a problem. But why not maximize the opportunity of being able to sell it for more money? If you're not underwater, of course, if you're underwater, which means we're doing a short sale, it's still very important because the bank is going to have a bottom line. They have a number they want to match. So either you're going to short sell this house quickly, or you may be forced, if you're in a distressed situation, you may be forced to go and you're facing a foreclosure. So, you know, everything that we can do to maximize the potential of selling that property at the greatest amount of money is very appealing to the bank, and they have to approve it. So regardless, you know, we have to do our part, and that homeowner needs to back away and allow us to do that part in love and at their best interest. That's why we're representing them.
Very good. You're listening to Squawk Talk with our expert panel of guests today in the field of real estate. Joining us in the studio today is Debbie Faulkner from Carrington Real Estate Services, John Ragland Jr. from Supreme Lending, and Terry Giroux from Keller Williams. So Debbie, you brought this up a little bit, but I want to talk about the importance of working with a professional. Everybody knows everybody who has a real estate license. The people have Uncle Joe who used to be in the mortgage lending business, and there's a million banks out there or people who are mortgage brokers, but not necessarily lenders. And closing attorney, what's the importance of having that professional lender, that professional closing attorney, and that professional real estate professional, not just someone with a license, helping in this transaction?
Well, like Debbie was saying earlier, a realtor is bound by a different, a higher standard of code of ethics. And I believe right now in the state of Georgia, we have somewhere around 15,000 licensed realtors. However, a majority of those don't ever sell a house. So people like to say they have their real estate license. That does not mean that they know the market or know how to best represent you. So you want to make sure that you have someone that has history of successful, you know, closings and past clients and a number of transactions under their belt, so to say, that can take care of you the very best way, because you do want the best service. And this is most people's largest investment. So you want to make sure you have a professional that knows what they're doing and is on your side.
And I would add to that, having a professional, a person that has a real estate license, as well as a person who is a realtor, what I've realized is we are far more than real estate agents or real estate professionals or realtors to the families that we serve. Many of them call us for doctors, referrals. They call us for, you know, anything, that mechanics. We become everything to a lot of those families. So it's important to me to let that my client know that if I can assist you in any other ways outside of purchasing your home, especially those that are new to Georgia, since I'm born and raised here in Georgia, I'll be more than happy to serve them in that way as well. So when you have a client, you want that client to be a person that you think about beyond the sale. And so a professional will allow themselves to be just that. And beyond that, I would also like to add that being a realtor for me, I look at their love language. All my clients are not the same. Some come and they want to tell you A, B, C. This is the way I want it done. So I look at their person, some passive, some aggressive. I have to actually take a back seat but still be that professional person. So let them get everything out they need to get out and understand that personality that I'm dealing with, and then go ahead. So I don't just lose that client, because you can lose a client when you're trying to put your personality in it.
Excuse me. The mortgage industry has really gone through a lot of changes, as you know, over the past several years with the just the foreclosure crisis. And looking for the best interest rate and the closing cost is the only thing, the only component, is really not a good plan. The industry has gotten very competitive, so you will find that most lenders out there are going to be within a reasonable competitive range when it comes to rate and closing cost. But what really is unique these days are the lenders that are out there and the way that they are running their business. You really want to know that you're working with a lender that can help you navigate through the loan process, because the underwriting guidelines are really very challenging, especially for buyers that have an out-of-the-box situation, or their income varies based on commissions or bonuses. Those different components just make it more challenging. And there are, like you said earlier, Kate, some lenders that may only close a few loans a year. They work out of the basement of their house and they broker it out, and they are not going to be a good source for lending when it comes to today's mortgage guidelines. I will tell you, there are lenders that that don't allow loan officers and underwriters to communicate together. And I think that that is the most important relationship, because as a buyer, you want to know that your loan officer is thinking the same way that the underwriter is thinking, because a pre-approval from a loan officer really doesn't mean anything if the underwriter is going to decline the loan. So you want to know that the pre-approval letter that's been provided by your loan officer is really the approval that's coming later from the underwriter. And the company I work for, Supreme Lending, is a direct lender, so we do all the underwriting and the processing in my office. I can walk down the hall and I can talk to my underwriter. We can open a file. Just last week, an underwriter called me because she was reviewing a file and there was a concern about the buyer's property, and we actually talked about it. And then I got in my car and I drove over to the property and I called her on the phone, took pictures with my iPhone, emailed them to her, and then we were able to work it out and obtain loan approval. And fortunately, that is not the norm, and it really needs to be in order for home buyers to be able to have the service that they deserve today.
All right, very good. So as we close out the show, I know you all don't have any magic crystals or what's going to tell you what's coming in the future, but John, you may have some ideas what's coming up with the Fed and some things that may change the market, or have seen some trends coming in 2014. What do you see coming in the next year? I'm going to hold you to it. I'm just letting you know.
Well, without my crystal ball, I will twinkle my nose here and tell you that according to what I'm seeing, I think that, like I said earlier, that our market is stabilizing and we're going to see it more of kind of an even market for a little bit. And depending on what interest rates do, we could see it slow down a little bit. It's hard to say, but we will not. I don't think we're going to see the market that we've had from January of this year through May, where things were just flying off the shelf, prices were up so much. I don't see that coming, but we're going to have a very strong 2014, and we're going to get back to a stable market.
And based on some of the information that I've been able to obtain, and even with, like you said, Kelly, the stabilization now in the marketplace, this is an excellent time. We're shifting away now from the short sale and a lot of foreclosures anymore. We're not seeing that. But what we're seeing now is the opportunity for resale. So that is new. That is coming back again. So if there's anyone out there, really, they've been holding on to their property, they want it to sell, I believe they should reach out for a realtor and say, you know, let me get a comparative market analysis done. Let me see where my property is. Have them come over and take a look at it and see how I can make it more marketable. So this is an opportunity for the seller now. And as well, definitely the buyers. I think now is the time to get on the bandwagon, go, you know, call that loan officer and say, pull my credit. Let me get you to review it, see where I am. Because you want to do it now while the interest rates are still as great as they are. Because, again, they are in a false low. This is just because of our government.
Well, I think next year is going to be a great year. The buzzword is taper, T-A-P-E-R. The Fed is going to begin tapering the mortgage-backed security purchase program at some point in the future. We originally thought it was going to be this fall, but then we had the government shutdown. That really caused some concerns about the amount of growth that the economy is having. But then more recently, the jobs reports that come out monthly are indicating that we're seeing more job growth than expected. So there's just it's a little bit of a dichotomy because even though we've seen values go up this year, I think you would agree, ladies, that this isn't just a robust economy that we're living in.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are still paycheck to paycheck, one paycheck away from foreclosure. So we have Wall Street and we have the government trying to determine, are we growing as an economy to the point where we can begin tapering the mortgage-backed security purchase program or not? And so as you are watching the news and as you are hearing different information about the market, if you hear that the Fed has announced that they will begin tapering, then rates are going to be moving up.
Yes. All right. Very good. Well, you've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. Thank you. Special thank you again to our expert panel for being on the show. As we close out, I want you to tell us again about your company and how people can find more information about you and your services. We'll start again with Debbie Faulkner from Carrington Real Estate Services.
Yes. Once again, my name is Debbie Faulkner. That is F-A-U-L-K-N-E-R. You're able to find me at www.facebook.com/realestatewithdebbie. And that real estate with Debbie is all spelled out. And if you want to email me, you may email me directly at Debbie Faulkner at, realestatewithdebbie@gmail.com. That's realestatewithdebbie@gmail.com. And my direct phone number is 404-384-6519. That's 404-384-6519. I am with Carrington Real Estate Services, a company that is worldwide. And we have 33 offices here. And I'm more than happy to serve any of your real estate needs.
Great. Thank you, Debbie. John Ragland, Jr. from Supreme Lending.
Kate, thanks so much for having me. I think it's so great when we get together and put our minds together and educate the greater population. The more we can do that, I think the more success we'll all have just as we continue to work through everything that we've gone through the past couple of years. I am John Ragland, Jr. with Supreme Lending, and I would always welcome your phone calls to my cell phone at 770 770- 335-6373. You can also reach me online at my website, which is my name, John Ragland Jr., J-R, johnraglandjr.com.
Very good. And last but certainly not least, Terry Giroux with Keller Williams.
Thank you, Kate. Yes, I'm Terry Giroux with Keller Williams Realty. And again, I've been in the business 23 years. I'm happy to help you with your home buying, home selling, or investing needs. You can reach me on my website, which is www.terrysellshomes.com. And that's T-A-R-Y, terrysellshomes.com. Or my direct number is 770-277-2166.
Very good. And I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor cleaning and restoration needs. To listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts, go to squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, set the eagle in flight.